Please be seated. When you look out into the world today and you see all the things that's going on, all the chaos everywhere and bumper-to-bumper traffic all over the place, shopping malls that are full, restaurants that are packed, doctor's offices that are full, funeral homes that are packed, it doesn't take long to see that this world is just kind of a big rat race, isn't it? It just seems like everybody's staying so busy, and man, how easy it is to get caught up in the rat race of life. Let me remind each and every one of us, there are two types of races in this life today. There is the Christian race. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. There's a Christian race, and then there's also the rat race. So you have to choose today, which one of these races do I want to participate in? Which race am I currently involved in? Let me build our lesson today from what the Bible says, not what Jerry says. So let's take a look and see what the Scripture shows us. I appreciate Brother Larry bringing us that reading a while ago from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Scripture says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, watch this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, watch the next word with me, ensnares us, tangles us up, traps us, keeps us held bondage, watch this, or captive, ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. The next word is race. So nobody was tuned in. Hebrews chapter 12, let's go back to verse 1. Everybody found it? The Bible says, therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, what does the Bible say? Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, tangles us, winds us up, gets us caught. Watch this. And let us run with endurance the what? Race. There it is, that is set before us. The Apostle Paul talked about that as well. When he was talking to young Timothy, he was advising Timothy to make sure that he just continues to preach the gospel, the true gospel, the true word of Jesus Christ. And the reason he was bringing that up to him is because Paul was explaining to him, hey, you know what? My days are numbered. I'm getting close to the last few days of my life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, down in verse 7, Paul made it real clear. He was talking to Timothy and he said, hey, I have fought the good fight. I love these next few words. He says, I have finished the what? I have finished the race. I have kept, the Apostle Paul says, I have kept the faith. I've done what God's asked me to do. And so he was, I don't want to use the word prideful, but I think that Paul was proud and he was proud of the accomplishment that he had, even through all of the tribulation, through all of the trials, through all the difficulties, through when he was Saul and yet went through that conversion and became the Apostle Paul. He was turned out to be one of the greatest evangelists besides Jesus that we can ever read about. Would you agree with that? But so when we're looking at his life, he was telling young Timothy, you just keep on preaching it. You keep on holding to the right thing. He says, you know, my race in life is just about over. But it doesn't take long, brothers and sisters, to see that he was involved in the Christian race. So what about you and me this morning? Are we in the Christian race or are we in the rat race? And only you can answer that question honestly. And you answer that by doing a self-examination, finding out where we are in our walk with Christ. For everybody, for all of us that are faithful believers, faithful, baptized, obedient believers in Jesus Christ, we are indeed in a race. And we are in a race, and it's called a spiritual race this morning. And we are racing against time. You know why? Because Satan is trying to take your time and my time, isn't he? He's trying to jump in and accomplish many things for him, not to the glory of God. But he's taking all the time that he can, and he wants to consume your time. He wants to pull you away from things, pull you away from the righteousness of God, pull you away from studying his word, pull you away from assembling with the saints, pull you away from encouraging that brother or sister that needs encouragement, pull you away from a hospital visit, pull you away from a church visit. Are you getting the idea? So Satan is going to do all that he can to make sure that you are enveloped, if I may, that you are entangled, that you are wound up doing the things that he wants you to do. He wants to do many things, and he wants to pull us away from the Lord. So let's take a look at a lesson from God's Word today regarding the race. The Christian race, let's be sure that we're part of that. Like the Apostle Paul talked about, he indeed ran the race. And he, I love what he says, actually. He says, I have kept the faith. I love that. I know that there are many people in our life today many people that we can witness, some in our own family, some at our workplace, some in our neighborhood that we live. But there are many, many people in life that are racing for the almighty dollar. Do you think that's a true statement? People today that has allowed the dollar bill to become their God, small g. Go with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. And I want us to share together a passage of Scripture that I believe will bring to light what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. Here's a guy that we're going to witness here in just a moment. Here's a guy that was in the race, and he was partly in the Christian race. You notice I use air quotes on that, because he wasn't doing what God told him to do. He was being routine. He had an outward act of religion. I'm not judging him. You're going to see that in just a moment. He was going through the motions, like many people do today, of Christianity. But we're going to witness who and what his God was. Is that all right with everybody? So take a look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Go with me. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running. By that, Jesus. Now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, said, "Good teacher, what shall I do, now watch this, that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Verse 19, "You know the commandments." He said, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father, and honor your," who else? "Your mother." And he answered, and he said to him, talking back to Jesus, he says, "Teacher, all of these things, I've done them. Matter of fact, I've kept them ever since what? I've kept them from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing thou lackest, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross," and the Bible says, "follow me." Verse 22 says it all. But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great what? For he had, the Bible says, great possession. The rich young ruler was certainly in a race, wasn't he? And it appeared, outwardly speaking, it appeared that he was in the Christian race. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, honor your father, honor your mother, and gave a list of things. And what did he say? What was his response to the Lord? "All these things I have kept from my youth. Lord, I've always done these things." But the problem was, in his life, he was acting as if he was in the Christian life, but you and I both know, according to the Bible, that he was in the rat race, wasn't he? He was caught up in the things of the world. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, you read of another fellow. We've looked at him many, many times from the pulpit, talking about the rich fool. He was blessed plentifully. He had everything that an individual could need. He had these great big barns. He had a field that yielded plentifully. So he was just sitting back and enjoying the riches that God had blessed him with. But what he didn't do was look at the people around him and see that those people needed help. What he didn't do was to give God the glory for every blessing that he had. Because if you look at the wording in that, I'll let you look at that later. You know, he talked about all of these things. He says, "You know what? I've got a lot of goodies here." I'm going to paraphrase. "I got a lot of goodies here, but I'm running out of room. So I'm going to tear down my barns." And now I believe the scripture says I'm going to build greater barns. I'm going to build bigger barns to accommodate all of my stuff. Do y'all hear that? All of my stuff. And nothing did he say about, "I've got to help those that are about me." Nothing did he say, "I better give God the praise, honor, and glory for what's happening in my life, the way he's abundantly blessed me." None of that. He just says, "I'm just going to store up all of my goods. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and what? Be merry." Watch this. The Lord corrected him, didn't he? He says, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you." I love the way he puts this back into his lap. He says, "And whose will those things be which you provided?" Do you see how the Lord reminded him? You think that you're in charge? You think you did this? Whose will these things be which you provided? Your life is over, buddy. Your life is expired. You failed to give God glory. You failed to help those that were about you. You failed to do any of the things that you need to do, and yet you were blessed plentifully. How many of us today can find ourselves like that? Maybe we don't have bigger barns. Maybe we don't have a lot of money, but we're just not sharing the gospel. Amen? We're just not sharing with others the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ, what He's done for me in my life, what He can do in yours. Are you getting the picture? So let's be sure that we're doing what God is calling us to do. Thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that he had murdered anyone. So that's a good thing. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say he was a drunkard. That's a good thing. Nowhere in there does it say he was an adulterer or a fornicator. That's a good thing. But he was still in the rat race, wasn't he? It was money. It was the things of the world that had become his god, small g. Be sure as we look at our lives that we're not allowing that. Don't get caught up in the rat race. Make sure that we are in the Christian race. Everybody in agreement? The first point I want us to consider is found in the book of John. I'm sorry. Let's head to John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Here's your first point that we've got to examine this morning. We're talking about, are you in the Christian race or the rat race? Here's the first point. The first point is this. In order to be in the race, you have to do this. In order to be in a race, we must know and understand that the Christian race has a beginning. Does that make sense? You got to know where this race begins. And it begins with Jesus Christ. It has already began. Jesus Christ left the beauty, the comfort of heaven, didn't he? The peace, the security, everything, to come here to rescue sinners like me. To rescue sinners like you. To give us that opportunity at salvation. Go with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. And then John chapter 3 verses 1 through 7, as we talk about the beginning, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and we know that the Bible says he was in charge. He was a ruler of the Jews. Watch this. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God. No one can do the signs that you're doing unless God's with you. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. Did you see that? Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Go to 7. The Bible says, do not marvel. Don't be astonished. Don't be knocked out. Don't be laid back. The Bible says, do not marvel that I said to you that ye must be what? Born again. So we know the Christian race from that passage of Scripture alone warrants the very thought, warrants the idea, warrants the fact that you must be born again and that this Christian race has a beginning. When we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we are then in the Christian race. Yes or no? We are then in the Christian race. We are racing against evil and we are racing against the devil. We all know that Satan will do anything and everything that he possibly can to derail us. I use that quite often because I think about a train rolling down the track and everything is perfect, isn't it? But if there's a crack in the tracks or somebody puts something on there, how big of a mess is it when that train goes off the track? It's huge, isn't it? As we are on our track in life, as Christians, and we're rolling down, when we get derailed, it can become very messy. It can become very messy because sometimes many of those that have erred from the truth never come back to the truth because of bitterness, wrath, anger, pride, shame, all these different things. Let's not let any of those emotions keep us from being in the Christian race and doing what God is calling us to do. But the devil will do what he can to derail us. He will do what he can to crash us. He wants us to crash and to be under his subjection. He also wants to disqualify us. We need to remember something. People often say, well, nobody but God can disqualify me. I disagree with that. I think that the devil himself can disqualify us when he says, hey, come over here, hang out with me. It's okay to get involved in this one-time adulterous relationship. Hey, come on over here with me. It's okay to come over here and neglect that. Hey, come over here with me. That preacher's nuts. You don't really have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Hey, come over here with me. You don't have to assemble at every opportunity. Stay home. Take it easy. You don't feel good. Stay home. Take it easy. You know, you got company coming over. Hey, stay home. Don't worry about this. You know, you got things to do around the house. The car needs wax. The living room needs painted. The floors need clean. Are y'all getting the picture? We make every excuse under the sun while we're at home. Every excuse under the sun. Thank you, God above. Jesus Christ, when he was called to go to that cross, didn't use excuses not to. Amen. If he had done what many of us do, we'd be headed for hell today. Do you understand that? Yes or no? All right. So I want to remind us, don't get caught up like I've done many times before. Jerry T. Ladd Sr., not proud of it. But don't get caught up in that rat race. Leave it alone. Let's stay in the Christian race. Amen? And oh, how easy it is for any of us. Don't ever look down on other people. Look to other people, right? Look to them. Talk to them. Encourage them. Let them talk to us. Let's not ever talk down to others. We are never so high that we can be in the judgment seat. Only Christ Jesus. Only Almighty God. But we better believe it. And we better know that it has a beginning. Satan wants to crush us. He wants to disqualify us. He also wants to confuse our minds. Do you think he wants to do that? How much religious division is out there today? A lot. A massive amount. People today that they hear those words and the other words, well, I know I don't go to a church service regularly, but I promise you this, I see it every Sunday morning on TV. I get up at 7 o'clock every single Sunday morning and I turn it on, and as soon as I get my coffee ready, then I'll immediately go sit in front of that TV. And, Brother Jerry, I sent them $9 2 weeks ago. So I am a solid Christian. No, you're not. You're lost. You're confused. You're in the rat race. Please focus, brothers and sisters, not on me, not on others, but on God. Amen. Keep our eyes upon the Father. Be sure that we are in the Christian race, not the rat race. He wants to confuse our mind. He wants to crash us. He wants to get us confused as well, all this religious division. And he will do that so that he himself might win the race, or he thinks he can win the race against Almighty God. Placing me in a rat race instead of the Christian race. Let me show you something. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appreciate what the Scripture says here regarding the race and how we are to be transformed, converted, how we are to live a fully repentant life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, watch this, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. You know what? This is your, Jerry, you and I talked about this last Wednesday. This is your reasonable service. Jerry Stevens said, hey, this is something you can accomplish. It's a reasonable service. This is something that God has not made impossible for us. This is reasonable. We can do this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Almighty God. So when we realize that there's a beginning, and we know the race begins with that when we become a Christian, certainly behooves you and me to stay involved and engaged in the Scriptures, doesn't it? And to realize that, you know what, this is the beginning of the race. Sadly, there are many, though, and many folks that have began the Christian race, but has now joined the rat race. Folks that look lightly, as I said, upon church, looking lightly upon sin, and this is sad, but looking lightly upon sin's consequences. You think that happens today? People have minimized sin. They're looking lightly upon unforgiven sin's consequences, looking lightly upon loving one another and even loving our enemies. Looking at our own life again, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I in the Christian race or am I in the rat race? Judas Iscariot, what race was he in? Congregation, what race was he in? The rat race. He sold Jesus, didn't he? He sold his soul. Joseph's brothers that lied, sold him into slavery, did all those horrible things to him. Christian race or the rat race? Sodom and Gomorrah, two horrible, horrible cities. given chances to get it right. Can you find this many good? 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 Rat race or the Christian race? Everybody that we've looked at, just for these few, that was involved in the rat race, the end result is death and separation. Yes or no? Same thing with you and me. If we're caught up and we're living the rat race, death and separation. Physical death is going to come, but that separation is going to come from God. Don't get caught up in that. Joseph's brothers, Judas Iscariot, we talked about this, Sodom and Gomorrah, many, many more that we could look at in the Bible that's in that rat race. Sadly, there are many, many people in our society today that's in the rat race. If you're finding yourself in a rat race, stop. Join the love of God. Join the church of God. Join the fellowship of God. Be added to the body of Christ by God Himself. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. You get it? And enjoy the love and the peace and the happiness and the comfort found only in Christ. The second point, excuse me, that we can consider today. As we're talking about the Christian race or the rat race, here's your second one. It's important to know that the Christian race not only has a beginning, but it also has rules, doesn't it? Y'all agree? It also has rules. Folks, it's extremely important, and it is required to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Say that with me. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. Please know that when we lose our focus, when we lose our sight of the Lord, when we lose our aim of emulating Jesus Christ, things will become very cloudy and life will become very distorted. You agree with that? We're not going to know which direction to go. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, looking at verses 2 and 3, the Bible says very clearly, looking unto who? Jesus. Why? Because He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, what did He do? He endured the cross, didn't He? He was despising the shame, the Bible says, and has sat down where? At the right hand of the throne of God. Look at 3. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in, the Bible says, where? Your soul. These verses right here, very, very simple. They encourage Christians, you and me, to focus upon Jesus and what He has called for you and me to do, to fulfill our responsibilities, to fulfill our duties as a Christian. God has a purpose and He has a plan for each and every one of us assembled here today. Did you hear what I just said? He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. I want us all to know something. There is not a single person in this assembly more important than any other person in this assembly. Amen? Every single person here is extremely valuable to God. Every person in here is a vital part of God's organization. You belong to Almighty God if you're a Christian. And you may be very active in some things, and I'll be active in some other things, and other people can be active in some things. But it takes all of us, doesn't it? It takes all of us to please God. It takes all of us to work in His vineyard. But every single person that loves Almighty God is extremely important to Him. Extremely important to your brothers and sisters in Christ. But we have to remember that there are rules. And a rule is, keep our focus on God and not on man. Is that one of the big good rules? Okay. I have to think about what the Bible says in John 12, down in verse 45. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. When we see the goodness of God, there's a song out right now, because you know I don't listen to anything but gospel music, but there's a song out right now called The Goodness of God. When you get out of the church building today, don't play it while you're sitting in here, but because it's a musical instrument, and then I'll have to act like I'm from one of these other places. The reality is, but it talks about the goodness of God. Heather, you ever heard that song? Google it when you go out. You'll love it. It's a great, great song. And maybe you'll buy me that CD for Christmas. But anyway, the goodness of God. So take a look and listen to those. But God is good, is He not? All right. So when we think about God and how good God is, He gives us these opportunities to abide in His rules. He shares His rules. He shares His guidelines. Look how the great psalmist survived in this world. I think about Psalm chapter 141 down in verse 8 where the scripture says, but my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord, talking about the word master, in you. Watch this. Watch what the psalmist says. He goes, in you I take what? Thank you, Teresa. In you I'm taking shelter. In you I'm taking cover. In you I've got my protection. Do not leave my soul what? Thank you, Ashley. Don't leave my soul destitute. Don't leave me in a bad spot. He's putting 100% of his reliance upon Almighty God, isn't he? The same thing that you and I should be doing this very day. In the book of Psalm chapter 25, down in verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. When I do get tangled up from time to time, when I do get caught up in these worldly things, guess what? When I call upon the Lord, what will he do? He'll pluck my feet from them. He's not going to let me, Brother Larry, get all so wound up in that. If I'm calling upon him with a sincere, earnest heart, he's not going to let me get caught up in that. Now, will I tangle up sometime? Mm-hmm. Will I sin? Absolutely. Will I fall short? Guarantee it. Will I my knees be bloodied up and my chin be bloodied up when I fall? Absolutely. But would God wipe away all the tears for the faithful? Absolutely. Will God receive us into that beautiful, prepared place for prepared people? Absolutely. But those with a sincere heart of obedience, faithful obedience, love for him, love for our brothers and sisters, love for our enemies, and love for fulfilling what God's calling us to do. John 14:15. If you love me, so how do we keep God's rules? By studying the scriptures every single day and following them very closely. Following the scriptures with all that we have. The third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. We know that the race, the Christian race, has a beginning. Did we agree with that? Then we consider the fact that it has rules, and are we in agreement so far? The third point, and I believe there could be many. This could be a series if we wanted it to be. But the third point I want to remind you all, every one of us, is this. The Christian race also has a reward. That's what I'm seeking. Say that. That's what I'm seeking. We're seeking heaven. Amen. We're seeking the righteousness of Almighty God. For all of those that ran the race, or that will run the race with endurance, run the race following after Jesus Christ, those, you and I, will be rewarded with the ultimate gift of all, a home in heaven with God and the heavenly host. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, down in verse 9. But as it is written, you pay attention to this. As it is written, let me give it another way. As it is promised, is another what another translation says. Eye has not seen, ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that beautiful? That also goes with hell as well. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, it's not in the heart of man how that prepared place for unprepared people would be. I've read a passage of scripture, Jared, several times. In flaming, taking vengeance on those who do not know our Jesus Christ. So you're going to choose which one you're going to do. You're going to choose today, whether you like it or not. And yeah, I'm telling you what to do from the scripture. You will choose today before you leave this building. Am I going to choose Christ? Am I going to choose the Christian race? Or am I going to choose the rat race? You don't have to answer it. You don't have to do anything. If you walk out and you're lost away from God, you chose the rat race. If you walk out and you know that your relationship with God is conducive to what the Scripture says, and you know in your heart, hey, I am going to heaven as long as I remain faithful, you're in the Christian race. But today is the day that you're going to make that choice. Do you believe that? All right, so I just want to remind you of that. It will be rewarded. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's what he brought to us. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, watch this, though now you do not see him, Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory. Watch 9. Receiving the end of your faith, say this real nice and loud with me, go, the salvation of your souls. The greatest gift of all. Amen? The salvation of our souls. But it's contingent, Jerry. If you're in the Christian race, or the what race? Rat race. We got to be very careful. Revelation chapter 2, latter part of verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I, Jesus Christ, will give you the crown of life. Listen, I'm longing for that great family reunion. Velma talked about that a little bit in Rob's class this morning. Whether or not we're going to see mom like we saw mom before, or brother or sister or whatever, I'm just going to be tickled to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't care what Bobby looks like in heaven as long as I and Bobby and I can share heaven. Amen. I'll say I don't think he'll ever be as good looking as me even while we're in heaven. But the reality is Bobby and I just want to share heaven together. But that's what it's about, isn't it, Jerry? Let's get to heaven. Let's glorify God. Let's make sure that we are living our life that God is pleased with. Let's be found in the Christian race and not in the rat race. As I close, we're on the Lord's side, so you know what, brothers and sisters, I got good news for you. If you're on the Lord's side, we're going to win the race, aren't we? We are going to win the race. But we must remember the Christian race, what I've talked about, but it has a course, and that means to abound in the work. We have a goal, and heaven is its goal. Please, once again, ask yourself the question, am I in the Christian race or the rat race? Today, if you know that you're not doing what God's calling you to do, you have failed thus far in your life to live your life according to the Bible, you're in the rat race. Don't matter how much we all love you, don't matter how much anybody else loves you, don't matter what Aunt Myrtle Dean said, the reality is you are either in God's hands or the devil's hand. Amen? You're either in the Christian race or the rat race. If you're in the rat race today, get things right. Make things right. Hear God's word. Well, I gave it to you. I gave my scripture. Believe, repent, change your mind, change the way you're living. Start living for Jesus. Quit being selfish. Quit making life all about you like I've done so many times before. Get the spotlight off of us. We are not all that. Actually, we're nothing in comparison to Jesus Christ and God. Amen? Let us glorify God in what we say and do, not glorify ourselves. Matthew 5:16, let your light so... Okay, I'll let that slide. That was okay. So make sure that we're doing just that. So make sure that we're letting our light so shine. Repent of our sins. Make that confession. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live faithful unto death. Always remember that we are indeed. Today, if you are a Christian, but you've wandered off from the fold, you were baptized many years ago on your confession of faith for the right reason, but you realize that, you know what? I've got myself caught up in a mess. I've done things that I normally wouldn't have done, said things I normally wouldn't have said. I brought reproach upon myself, maybe even the church a little bit. I just want to be forgiven. I want to walk as Christ would want me to walk. We will help you. We will not judge you. We will encourage you all the way to heaven. If you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now together with me.